This is Wade Rathke with the Chief Organizer's Report on Dragnet Nation, which finds personal privacy is unobtainable, but offers some tips. One of my crew of personal librarians at the Alvar Street Library recommended that I read Dragnet Nation, A Quest for Privacy, Security, and Freedom in a World of Relentless Surveillance by former Wall Street Journal reporter Julia Angwin. Since usually they comment after I return something rather than steer me towards something, I thought I should honor them and their efforts by checking it out and giving it a good hard look. It's a good book, but after reading Angwin's overview and exhaustive personal experience in trying to reduce her digital footprint, deal with her own threat model, protect her family, and regain some semblance of privacy, here's my own takeaway. It's virtually impossible. Literally. And not for lack of trying, because Angwin went above and beyond, from buying services to disguise her phone number, creating false identities, buying $200 burner phones, and hiring companies to supposedly delist her from computer cookie-based ad tracking services. She took all the easy steps as well, trying to navigate all the security controls on Google and Facebook without feeling she was making much progress. She even abandoned Google, except for the mom business, as she called it, to a new search engine, DuckDuckGo, which saves nothing, and with great effort switched email services to the anarchist collective RiseUp, which swears it will fight any effort at government seizure. I was eager to learn all of that, as well as to discover from her that Google has a data liberation project that allows a Googler to find all the records of their past searches, contacts, emails, and seemingly just about everything else where fingers hit the keys under their auspices. Fascinating and scary, huh? When she mentioned that she discovered pictures she'd forgotten on Google's Picasa, I tried to, but at least so far, I've not been able to access anything there. Though I know that we all use Picasa at some point, so WTF. And those were the easier and cheaper parts of her journey. Being a journalist with an eye out for her next job in a declining industry, Angwin believes in saddling up with a smile to every paywall she sees and paying for the best. So she does things like buy a Faraday case to hide her burner phones for a pretty penny and contracts wildly with companies to try to get her off the grid, along with paying a researcher and using her own time to do countless thankless tasks. All of which irretrievably separates her already from all the rest of us, meaning that as the book progressed, we quickly went from fellow travelers to bystanders watching her journey as voyeurs, knowing that it was all a bridge too far from our energy and pocketbooks. I learned valuable tidbits, though, and I'm thankful for them, even if I'm not sure how to get there from here, or am honest enough to say I won't even try. Things like the fact that it's possible to reorder Google search, that it will first find things that you wrote when they hit your name rather than things written about you. Of course, she got someone to show her how to do that, and I wish she'd shared that with the rest of us, because I would love to get the haters off my front pages so that they're part of the search caboose rather than the engine. The tip about using mnemonics as passwords is fascinating, such as converting phrases like, "It's 12 noon, now I'm hungry," into I'S12IMH to thwart hackers and spammers. I'd never heard the term war driving used by tech companies driving on streets to find wireless hotspots. Scary, huh? I love the story about Charlie Ward from Conway, Arkansas. Ward Bus Company family having founded Demographics to help his buddy Senator Dale Bumpers with direct mailing in his political quest, which has now evolved into the giant Axiom with a fancy building in downtown Little Rock and truly one of the scariest companies in the world in this area. I had to agree with Angwin that the irrational compulsion to keep doors open that undoes so much of our efforts to achieve privacy is universally shared. But mainly, I learned something she may or may not have intended to teach, which is that at the present time, given the state of corporate control, lack of regulation, and the inability of policymakers to even imagine the fact that the internet has no boundaries and trumps all borders, we simply can't expect privacy or that we can escape the dragnet. Angwin created an alias to escape named Ida Tarbell after the famous muckraker and constantly worries that the fake Ida would become part of her family network and defeat its purpose. And all communication until eventually they found the creation. Here are two safeguards that I pulled from the book. One is that if you're worried, do as much of your business as possible in real-time conversations on landline telephones. The government still needs specific search warrants to get a seat in the old school where the law understands the tech. The other is achieving privacy by obscurity by accepting all friends, all LinkedIn invitations, and essentially burying good data, real friends, under bad data, people not known. Yeah, it's counterintuitive, but it works. And what the heck? If you can't beat them, you might as well join them and embrace people in the public sphere, since there's no way of escaping anyway. This is Wade Rathke. For questions or comments, www.chieforganizer.org. You take it from here to there.